Recording.
So welcome back to hour two of December 22nd live with Linda. And it's the celebration for me and for many of us of the solstice is very special this year. And it brings us to the point that finally, Greg Braden has been talking about this like 3 or 4 years ago. And those of us in the 60s who were part of the dawning of the age of Aquarius. And then I thought like when the year 2000 came, I thought that was it. But apparently, according to the stars, it's now. And so we have this choice and the support in a whole different way from the stars, from the universe, from all of our archangels, from this opportunity to this amazing chance now to really feel a shift on the planet. And I believe that this COVID, is the gift that we needed. And it's so hard when you see all of the suffering that is going on with it. And yet what comes to me is something, I think it was Gary Zukav in one of his books wrote that there's no such thing as a problem without a gift in its hand. We have to search for the gifts. Well, in this case, we don't have to search for the gifts because so many of us have had the opportunity to have this time, like it's a restart button. It's a time to really look around us and find out what is important, to go inside. And we've had this opportunity to be together in this way, which you never would have had if it hadn't been this. And the gifts that I have received from all of you, from me, daring to speak out and realize that we can choose unconditional love and gratitude. And that is a choice. And we've been talking about it with Sandy and Eleanor and our Sundays and all of our programs for 2 years. And now it's here. And the stars are lined up in a different way. And so what I would like to do in this hour is talk to, I want to hear from some of you. I know you have issues you'd like to discuss and to share. And I would like to just begin, if Simila is still with us, because I want to spotlight what she has been doing with these people who are living for life in an institute, two different institutes in Italy for autism, for autistic adults. And that's mostly what she's been working with. And I just, Simila, if you could just give, the example that comes to me is the video you sent me of this man who'd been lying like totally without speaking for a long, long time. And you went in and you got him up. Could you just tell that story? Because to me, that's a Christmas story of hope. Can you tell
that us was that? Marco. That was Marco. Marco was an adult autism man from vaccination because they was speaking about vaccination. The state gave him yes. We have not many people declare autism from vaccination, but he is the state, the Italian state give him every month money because they gave this shot and have had this problem.
Holy mackerel. So, I mean, is that not divine intervention that I chose when Altina, you want to talk about this, and here we have this. I mean, this is divine intervention. So that you all understand, the state of Italy, the Italian government, is paying him to be in this institute because they acknowledge that he was
yes totally I think there are few people can that they have had this this money back, but sometimes it happens, and it have some period where he is like catatonic in the bed, and in that period they ask me to start T-Touch on him, and I start when he was lying, and he start to speak with me because he don't want to speak, so he was mute. He is blind, and you have seen he don't move very well hands and the body. And after a few time, he start to get up and sit, and he start to show me how to do T-touch on himself. And time after time, I start to dance with him, and he start to go outside, downstairs to eat, and he changed a lot with this contact. The mother asked, when I met them, he was in the big hall, but he don't like to be touched from people.
Yeah.
I start to make like he touched me, and I speak with him. And when I have spoken with him, I touch him, and he smiled. So the mother was impressed and asked to the director, he want to do something with me. And so they asked me to start with him the job. And he start to come with us to do pet therapy with animals.
Whoa, in a group.
With dogs, yes. So he changed a lot, yes. And sometimes they ask me to go, to bring him out, and we go working because the biggest problem on Marco was he have a very strict celebration when he do see things. And if you stop something, he stay there maybe one day, but he stop in that moment and don't want to do anything else. The only one people can speak with him and touch him and go to do something different was I. And so they asked me to go outside. He was maybe 10 years. He was not going outside from that place. And we walk outside, and I am very happy. I am not happy now because they have COVID problems inside the place, in the institute. So I can't go there. And they have this problem, but I'm happy because he changed his life. And then they decide to put him in a different place of the institute, because the institute, there are maybe 3-4 places where there are the most autonomous people, the people that can do everything alone. Some different place, it depends on how the people right. is there. And he changed, and he go in the place where they can do everything alone by themselves. So it changed his life. Yes.
I mean, it's an absolute miracle. And it's so interesting because, Valentina, you asked me, you know, from time to time to give stories about how this work works. And it's so interesting. I only saw the videos from the beginning when you got him actually from being catatonic to come up right, and to dance with you. And I didn't know that he'd gone outside. I mean,
one time I can send you. One time you can share some little piece if you want, or you can use, because we are allowed to show to people. So you can use it. I send you, Linda.
Please, okay? And let's do it next time, because this is truly, these are the miracles that we see all the time. It's what Liz said, you know, with that six-year-old boy who had not been speaking, hadn't been going to the bathroom, and just from being with the heart hug with her family, he got up and went alone to the bathroom. I mean, these are, and it's from that amazing stuff to the small things where we begin to accept ourselves and our bodies in a new way, and that changes the planet. Oh, Simila, thank you so much. It's just a perfect time. And I want to see about, so you asked me, Marianne, what I think about the vaccine. One of my best friend's fathers was 93, a doctor, ran a hospital, was very fit, went in to the hospital to just sign off and say goodbye to go on vacation for a couple of weeks to Spain. And somehow they just talked him into a vaccination, a flu vaccination. And he dropped dead on the floor there in the hospital. And he had to do not resuscitate. I'm sorry, I'm telling you this story at Christmas, but it could make a difference. And in spite of that, do not resuscitate. They tried for 20 minutes in this violent way that they do, starting the heart, and he didn't make it. And I'm saying that because I also know from talking to another one of my really brilliant friends, veterinary friends, that the stuff, the carrier for these vaccines, is not something I want in my body, even if I did trust the vaccine, which I don't. And I would like to say to you, I listened to Dr. Zach Bush, who has three medical degrees. He is just phenomenally brilliant. And on an interview on YouTube, and I think, Valentina, you sent this to me, with an interview with High Wire, he talks about what's behind all of this, not from a conspiratory point of view at all, but from the planetary point of view. What does this COVID mean? And for me, it's particularly interesting because I have on my library there a couple of books that tells the history of some of these carriers that are in the vaccine and the history of viruses and bacteria. And listen, you all, this is a brilliance that we have within us, more bacteria within us than we have cells. And we need to start talking to them, but the ones that don't belong there, it's not enough for me to talk to them. I'm going to bring in this, like, you know, this fungus inspired, coming originally, I think, from camel dung. It's a plant or whatever based thing. And how can we get smart about becoming once again one with nature and with our animals and giving thanks and using the Ho'oponopono and all of this? I don't believe in these, I'm sorry, these conspiracy therapy theories, but I love listening to Dr. Zach Bush and talking about how this relates what we're going through now to the six times the planet has gone down over billions of years and come back. And this is like an opportunity for us right now, you all. This word ascension has been used, a long time. And this ascension, I believe, has to do at this time, ascending into the knowing that we are one with all that is. And that when we choose unconditional love and understanding and compassion, not being Pollyannas, understanding what is, that each one of us makes a difference, and certainly in our soul journey in many ways. So Valentina, thank you for that, Dr. Zach Bush. I've heard him before, but this was particularly important to us. And I'd like to hear you talk about this, because in my family, Roland is totally believing in vaccines. I don't do flu shots, I'm sorry. But what we can do, and that's what Dr. Bush talks about, is how we can support our immune systems, how we can make a difference with this in all the ways. And T-Touch is one of them, and knowledge and sharing this together, because we have a lot of brilliant, experienced people right here together. And that's what this is about. So, Valentina, I'm so interested that you're one of the, you could be one of the chosen ones. So what's your feeling? Because you sent me.
One of the anti-vaxxer conspiracy theorists. Just the other day, because I live in a very conservative community, people that know me consider that I have crossed over to the dark side of conspiracy theorism, or whatever it's called, because of how I feel about the vaccination situation. It is interesting to me that when I just ask people in my community who are basically ranchers and farmers and cowboys, real cowboys, how many people I ask casually go, oh, hell no, I'm not getting vaccinated. And yet when I say that one of my great concerns is government mandatory vaccination with technological tracking, then those people tell me I have gone completely off the deep end and that it will never happen. And that I need not be afraid, and that even though I don't use a cell phone, that I can get a cell phone application and pass it over my neighbor's vaccination sites to see if they were vaccinated and all of that stuff. And I think my concerns are legitimate. One of the things that I, even from what people on this call are saying, what I hear is that it is very difficult to get real information about a lot of these questions. Yeah. What you're saying, what are the adjuvants? Are there heavy metal adjuvants used in these vaccines? Yeah. There is a whole subcategory of conspiracy theorist wackos like me who are concerned about live fetal cell cultures.
Unbelievable.
Taken
absolutely
from aborted 6-month-old live fetuses or infants by that time, whether that, you know, to try to find information. It's one reason I went to the Moderna website and looked at their tests, at their graphs, at their everything. I really was trying to find out the actual recipe for their vaccine. What's in it? You can't find it. A number of the websites, like the one that I sent you to, Dell Bigtree's Highwire interviews, the ones with Zach Bush. And remember when we were talking on Saturday, or maybe it was last week, somebody, maybe Marianne, was it you who said that those had all been taken off YouTube and censored off YouTube? But that is a problem for all of us who are looking for real information, because we want to make informed judgments. And the news media that I have access to on television, on the radio, whether they be Republican, Democratic, in the middle, whatever, they all seem to promote fear. And they all seem to promote vaccination as the only way out. And they seed an idea of selfishness if you are not vaccinated and if you are not vaccinating your children to send them to school.
Yeah.
And it is worth going to either the CDC website or maybe your own state COVID dashboard to try to find out what are your state's legal, they're called opt-outs from vaccination. On what grounds can you say, I do not want to be vaccinated? Generally, there are three. Philosophical, which I believe may even come down to, I don't want to, that's why. Religious, and I think that you might be able to use religious in terms of live fetal cell vaccine components, and medical. In my state of Colorado, they have lumped philosophical and religious together, and you can do those or medical. In the state of California, I was disturbed to see only medical opt-out from vaccination exists. And evidently it's very difficult now to get because doctors will not give you a note from a doctor for that. So this is partly why my concerns about mandatory vaccination, about vaccination passports to travel, about schools denying children entrance if they're not vaccinated, why that is a concern for me. And most people go, mandatory vaccination and tracking of vaccinated people will never happen. And I am afraid. And I wonder how other people feel about it.
Well, so what I would like to do is address the fear. And I believe in California, I'm shocked at that. My understanding is at this point, parents really don't have a choice. And I would like us to come from a place, it's my choice is, and in terms of anybody who says that they don't believe that they can be tracked, you can just dig a little deep. That's how do you think, I just heard it on our local radio, how the advertising is all programmed from this amazing tracking that they do. But you know, that's what is. And if it's true in your state and you choose to live there, rather than going to that place of absolute distress, it's your choice to be there. You can hold, instead of getting sick over it, I don't know. I mean, I thought a lot about this. I'm not going to say what I would do. It's not my business what anyone else does. But if you are there and you have to be there, this is where call in the prayer and know that Angela, so it is, Angela. It's so it is. And do the best you can. And then it's so true, Valentina, that we don't know what is truth. I'm going to later today call a friend of mine who is a vet, who is really smart and knows some of these answers. And I believe where to get answers to what's in the vaccine. See, I don't trust them at all. And just because, and I don't, not because of a theory, they're trying to do something, but that they're rushing this through. Big Pharma, they'll do anything to get this money. And so is that good for my body? I don't think so. And I'd rather do whatever I can do to be smart, to boost my immune system, to do everything possible. And if you, I would like us to hold, instead of, because we've heard this before, you're not going to be able to travel without a vaccine. Let's not hold that. Let's hold something different. Let's create, knowing that we can all together create, wait a minute, that we we will have a choice in some way. Let's hold that, because for those of you who follow Esther Hicks of Abraham, holy mackerel, what we focus on is what we strengthen, what we get. Doesn't matter, be stupid, and doesn't mean be stupid and don't look. But this is, for me, this discussion is our opportunity to maybe each person make a choice. And let's keep talking to the brilliance of this body, being smart about our choices, find the science behind all of this, and know, yeah, yes. And I will not be getting the one, Valentine, I will not be getting that.
I can recommend one source of information that I believe in wholeheartedly. It is the Weston A. Price Foundation. Weston Price and his foresight and brilliant book, Nutrition and Physical Degeneration. The current president and founder is a woman called Sally Fallon Morrell. She is a scientist. They have a quarterly journal. You can get any back issues. I think the summer 2020 or the spring 2020 had articles about COVID specifically, but they always have extremely interesting articles. And every article that is written has 2 to 5 pages of peer-reviewed scientific journal references listed, so that you can see what studies were done about topics that interest you. They are very much behind nutrition and a physical body in a state of glowing health is what pulls you through our world situation. They also do talk about attitude, how your thinking plays into your body and so on. But that is a source of, I feel, unbiased, politically and economically unbiased information, the Weston A. Price Foundation.
Maybe somebody can write that in. So I would thank you very much for this. And I if anybody has anything else they'd like to say about it, this is not, I don't feel it's my position to, you know, I don't have a position what you should do. Each person has to make that decision for themselves based on their family, what the rest of the family thinks. And so I would like to hear some more just small stories or big stories about how T-Touch has helped you, whether you've reached out to a friend, being able to give it to them when you're isolated, they're isolated, like Lois did with her sister, which Lois, that still warms my heart every time I think how that wonderful connection you had with your sister was just beautiful. Thank you, Valentina, for this subject. I'm sure it's close to many of our hearts. Who has a T-Touch story? Anna, hi, and then Christine. So we'll do Anna first, and then Christine. Hi.
Valentina, thank you so much for talking about Sally Fallon. She also wrote a book with Dr. Thomas Cowan, Fourfold Healing, and he's definitely someone who really talks about, you know, the dangers of vaccines. And of course, right now you would think that Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos would take every single penny to help clean up our earth, which is the irony of it all. And the amount of money that the pharmaceutical companies and doctors are making on coronavirus and all of this, it's phenomenal. Instead of us really wanting everyone to eat healthy and breathe the freshest air, the amount of chemicals in our air is mind-boggling. So of course, I'm a girl who eats garlic every single day. I'm a garlic girl. And, you know, green tea and just always moving. And what I want to say about T-Touch I was touching myself T-touch for at least an hour and a half when I woke up this morning. And what I started doing, when I think about all the ATMs I've done, and now I'm adapting them to T-touch. So I started doing this thing with my tongue, because all of a sudden I started realizing, when you talked last week, Linda, about someone had said, you know, don't think of it as a clock. So all of a sudden I started thinking, okay, Anna, wherever you start, that first quarter is where you're going to return. So it completely, but I have to connect all the time. Where am I starting? So my expansiveness of who I am has to be so connected. It's been so magical. So my tongue has been so much fun. So I think, do I start, you know, and you realize your eyes move and your jaw moves. So I've been going like, I'm going to have to do it for an example. I'm going like. And I've just been doing this thing with my tongue. It's been phenomenal because your eyes open up. And of course, the best thing about laughter is it pulls up your perineum or your pelvic floor. And the book I meant to say last week, but things were changing. This book, Daniel G. Aman, MD, Sex on the Brain. This book is so encompassing for the feminine, because I realized when I was in school, no one ever talked about sex, really. I mean, I never really had an education. And this book is just phenomenal.
Should I get it from my husband for Christmas?
Well, I got it from the library. I've been reading it. But no, the funny thing that happened when I started that, we started talking about sex and all that good stuff. I started doing, you know, I wash my hands, you know, I get in bed, and I, you know, I can just put my, you know, one hand down on, you know, my vagina and my clitoris. And the other hand, I love my belly button, my umbilical cord. So I get down below there, and then I do, you know, I start, and then I go around together, and I know I'm going to turn up right now to the right, and I just kind of feel in there. And I started doing that, and really just allowing myself, you know, and that thing that Yona had said about rocking, and I can rock with my breath, you know, that beautiful thing that happens with our breath. You realize if you put your hand around your belly button, and then, you know, down around, which I love is the V up here with our clavicle, and then the V right down with the pelvic bone. I think that is just the most sexiest thing, how it connects this whole part of ourselves with that little V right down in that pelvic bone. So I've just really been exploring, you know, touching everywhere and doing a T-touch. So I just want to say, I have really forgiven myself. And I feel like I'm forgiving anybody where I felt they never saw me. You know, to forgive my grandfather. I mean, I was lucky he never penetrated me, but he did, you know, pull my little pajama bottoms down and start licking my little clitoris there. And I was like, that's when I, you know, completely just went blank and starting to understand how I was hiding, as I had mentioned before, hiding in the closet, wanting to hide under the bed, wanting to hide in the bushes. Can I lock the door in the bathroom and hide, you know, somewhere in the bathroom? I mean, this idea of what is consensual, what is non-consensual sexuality, and you realize we've never talked about it. Yep. So this idea of touching ourselves and connecting with the healing nature. I just love what you have brought in my life. And when everyone shares, I feel like I'm expanding and learning. So thanks again for this community. I feel so blessed. Thank you.
And I'm going to send this to Alice, because Alice Lattice is such a treasure for us, for those. I think you all know she's 99. I was saying she was 97. And she's been one of the movers and shakers in the whole human development field. and she was one of the co-authors on the G-Spot. So, you know, she's really a treasure to have in our community. I mean, it's amazing. And the discussion that we, the open discussion that we had last week, I mean, we just don't normally have this opportunity to share in this way. So thank you, Anna.
And just one other thing I want to say is I've been watching Christ Revealed. It's a webinar. And, you know, just all the history of everyone who's been studying there or, you know, migrating there. It's an amazing just history of what everyone has been learning and communicating. It's really great. And then it's called Christ.
Wait, can you explain that more?
Yeah, it's a webinar. It's called Christ Revealed. I think today it's probably, they're doing 9 sessions. I'm sure they're gonna replay it again. You know, it's a free quote webinar, Christ Revealed. And then the same kind of group, they've done things called Vaccine Revealed and gives you the real facts about vaccines and the terrible things they've done around the world and how many people have died from getting a vaccine. Like, no one ever tells the truth, you know, because it's all about taking advantage.
And how do we know? I mean, how do we trust it?
Oh, because of all the scientists and the doctors who have done it and then all of a sudden realized and they start, you know, they become functional physicians, naturopaths. I mean, just physicians that have start to see the world in a more integrated, complex way. And, you know, because the chemicals that these children are getting, I mean, I'm 65. So, I mean, now when you think about all these newborns, the amount of vaccines they're getting, I mean, I think I haven't had a vaccine since I was a child. I can't have a vaccine. I'm 65 years old. I mean, I barely had antibiotics because I, you know, I'm always looking for other herbs and different things to do to keep myself healthy.
And I mean, the thing that's so important about this, sorry to break in, but about 2 years ago, Bruce Lipton on his Saturday morning talk said that by the time a child is 2 years old, that they've had, I can't remember how many vaccines.
It's 16?
More. No, yeah, way more than
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
And the thing is, we have to be so careful not to go to a place of fear from this.
I know.
To know, wait a minute, that is what is. Let's bring in the creativity of the universe, of the source energy, in order to deal with this without fear.
Okay.
Because fear is the opposite of love.
Yeah.
Sorry, and I just wanted to say that because for all of those who've had the vaccines, who have them, just pray that the mutating human being,
and help them with T-Touch.
Yes.
Thank you.
Love. Anna, thank you. Other opportunities to bring in T-Touch. Christine, you were on. And could you write that in the, could you send that? I got up and left my pen somewhere. I really want to look at this Christ Revealed after. Christine.
Linda Charlotte sent me something through email too she would like to share.
Okay. A picture. Thank you. Christine?
Yeah, am I unmuted now? I think I, yes. Well, it will be hard to follow Anna. You know, more basic and simple, but I really appreciate what she had to say. And also when she was talking about her experience with the tree last week, where instead of freaking out with the cutting down of a tree, she got into a different space about it. And that was good for me because I freak out when I see trees going down. But this isn't what I am going to say about the T-Touch, but on another level, talking about all these things and you're admonishing us not to go into fear. My goal through the years has been to do my inner work sometimes it's intense and sometimes it's slow, you know, it's a slow thing, but I've been doing it for many years. I'm 5 years younger than you only, Linda. So I'm pretty clear, and I might go into a little bit of anguish or rage when I see what I believe is happening that's not good. But my goal is to be so clear that I can let that go immediately or almost immediately, and then stay in a place of joy and being in love and all what you're telling us to be, so that I am merely an observer of this, you know, this situation, which I wouldn't perceive as fabulous. So, and through that, we raise our frequency, and that's how we will change what's going on. It's all about frequency, frequency, frequency. And if you're anguished or mad, you're not keeping your frequency as high as it could be. So that's my goal. And so if, you know, the inner work, I tell folks, well, if you haven't done that, better start. I mean, you know, it's an ongoing thing. I've been doing it since I, at age 29, when the astrological Saturn cycle hit, you know, the, you know what hits the fan, and I've been on that path ever since. And sometimes I'm sort of on vacation through the years, but mostly I'm in that, you know, and life is a teacher. But anyway, so the little story that I wanted to tell about tea touch with animals, and then I have a human one too, but my little black kitty, she's sort of, well, anyway, the other day I woke up and she was on my bed, and I, you know, I got up and put my head next to her to pet her and tell her good morning. And she had this horrible wheeze. It was like she must suddenly have heartworm or something. It was more than just asthmatic. She's never had anything like that before. And it was Saturday. So I thought, oh boy, I can't afford the special emergency vets. So Monday, I'm trying to figure out, you know, where I'm going to take her. But of course, I started tea touch right away. Then I did a little more. And I checked on her a couple of hours later. That was 2 days ago or 3 days. And it was gone. I mean, it was just gone. And it hasn't come back since. But it was really this huge, loud rattle in her chest. So it was more than just a little something. So again, tea touch for your animals. But also, I have two friends that I rode with to go to a meditation meeting that we do. And one had eye surgery, and her eyes were still blurry, and she could see during the day just fine, but not well enough to drive at night. So I worked on her eyes, and she said, I think they're already better. And we've got a little more work to do. I just texted her and she said, they're better, but I still, you know, I guess it's a process. Yes. And I'm going to show her how to do herself. And then the other friend has polyps on her vocal cords. And so I did tea touch on her, and I haven't talked to her, but again, you know, these are friends who are open to all of this. So I just wanted to share that. But the cat was like phenomenal. It was just like phenomenal. But these provide ways for me to share with others. And as I said before, it's so simple. The big blockage is that nobody thinks it's real, you know, if they haven't experienced it. So that's what I had to say.
thank you so much. And it's so important to hear those, because I remember years ago, I don't know if my friend, dearest friend Kate Reardon got on, but I wish her voice was such that she could tell us this story, because she was helping out with one of our friends, had a vet clinic at the time, and he had a kitten that had come in and had a horrible respiratory disease and this wheezing thing that they didn't think, it was a very young kitten, didn't think would live. And I can't remember the exact story, but I was with her and we went in because she had agreed to look, do something with these kittens, like after hours with the animals, to do something, feed or something. And so I just was holding this little kitten, and it was, you know, bubbling mucus, all this stuff. And I just did a little bit of tea touch on it, a little bit of ear tea touch. And the next day, the vet came in and said, what happened? This respiratory issue was gone. And see, I've been trying to figure out all these years, what is it? Because I don't ever consider that healing. I'm not a healer any more than any child is. And I just was doing this a little T-touch. And I had no intention of healing this animal. That was certainly not my intention. It was just being there and just doing a little something. And I think the cool thing is, now that I understand, wow, I am connecting directly with that divine spark in every cell in the body. So it's clear, easy. And just making that connection, reminding the body of its absolute potential for ideal function.
If I might say, well, I like to say, because I do energetic healing, as I've said before, but I don't go around saying I'm a healer. I will say I work with energetic healing, but I think anybody can. Some are more easily, can more easily go in that direction to do it. And some, if they wanted to do it, might have to, you know, spend a little more time developing it. But I think everybody can do this. I mean, can do T-touch, but even the energetic healing and the friend with the eyes, she's real brainy. And she says, oh, I have a friend who's tried to teach me. And I just, oh yeah, I got a little energy coming from my hand. I said, well, I think you're just too, you know, you're linear thinking, you're a brainiac, right? So that, but other, you could do it. But the thing I love about the T-touch, I've said this before, you don't have to be a so-called healer, because people say, oh, I can't do that, you know. And so I would argue with you a bit that you are a healer, but healing takes many different, you know, can look many different ways. But this is what I love about the T-touch. If you can imagine a clock and do circles and get into your breath and say those little cellular pep talks, if you will, that's it. And you don't have to think of yourself as having the energy going through your hands and doing that, because that's a block right there, you know. And that's why I love it, that you can do it yourself. You don't have to be a healer. You can do it to yourself, you know, or your animals. But so
right. And the thing I think that's different about T-touch as opposed to regular energy, the bringing that logical part of the method and the clock that brings the numbers and the method activates our full potential of our full brain, as opposed to simply feeling like we do with some of the stuff. And feeling, be able to bring in that logical part and have this completion. It's not that I don't consider myself a healer. I just not a healer any more than any other person can be. Because we can be healers.
That's right. Amen to that.
Amen. So thank you for that.
You're so welcome. I will mute myself.
We have about 10 minutes more. I'm going to start a stop at the end of 2 hours, just because I know we all have much to do, and it's just such a pleasure to be here with you.
Do you want to share the image?
Yes, absolutely. I've been doing this. Charlotte sent me this beautiful meditation from, this is the one I wanted to see up. This is the great awakening. Everyone will get, can you go before that, Charlotte, to show them where this came from? Because it's so beautiful the way it was laid out.
I think that's all I have.
Oh, okay. That was the end part. It showed.
Sorry, Linda. I actually put that compilation together myself.
Are you joking?
So it wasn't. Charlotte. So no, as in I picked ideas together. I didn't design this, but the thing you're talking about, I think you're talking about Steve Noble's meditation and everything. I sort of just brought in all that information and put it into an email to you. So I'm not sure which parts.
well, I was just the part that was just before that showed the convergence of the Saturn and your, it doesn't matter. This is what's important. This is the end part. And I thank you for this. I've listened to it at 4 a.m. a couple of times. This beautiful guided meditation, because the music behind it, his voice, and the thing that he takes is bring the light into every part of the body. But he brings the light from the universe, from star seeds, from the fact that it is our time now. And this I love so much, because this is what when you just use, this is, if you look down, under this showed the third dimension, which is what we've had all these aeons, the third dimension, where fear, you know, it's a black and white. And we have this, what that brings is, you know, fear and diversion and anger and control and hate, all of this, the third, or it's being in the third dimension. And what we're going to, this fifth dimension of vibration, this love, unity, peace, freedom, healing, consciousness, compassion, I would say. And the fact is that with Tea Touch, one of the beauties of Tea Touch is that we activate both hemispheres and have this opportunity to bring logic to this. So this is so beautiful. I love this image. And thank you, Charlotte, for the Great Awakening. That's what we're in now, this age of Aquarius, this support, this concept that we are star seeds, that we came here, you know. And I wish you could see this. A little cardinal just landed on the back of my chair, like 6 feet from me. They fly through the living room here. So thank you for this. And I want to, Karen, in response to what you were saying, I wanted to read this, because I did this once before, but you know, every time I read it, I just love it. This is something that I got in way out in Russia on the, a stone's throw from the border of Mongolia, from Ulaanbaatar, over the amazing Lake Baikal. And I had flown out there from Moscow following the directions that I got coming down from the big red rock Uluru. And some of you are doing this meditation, this Aboriginal meditation right now. Someone sent it to me yesterday and I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. But anyway, I had been with a group and called Transformation on the Trail. We'd been lying on top of Uluru all night. And it's a big deal to climb up because it's very like 80 mile an hour winds and there's a rope to hold you. And it's a real climb. We came up and lay on the top, in the top, and we had part of our group didn't feel safe climbing. And so they held as witnesses. They stayed up all night and we meditated just all night. And it was the night of the great falling meteorite shower and a full moon eclipse. And it was just spectacular lying there. When I came down, I got I was channeling the nine who said that they were extraterrestrials from the star Sirius come to help in the evolution of mankind. And what I got is you're supposed to go to Lake Baikal and take Gigi Coyle with you. This is a friend of mine. We did a lot of work in Russia and various parts of the planet. And so I did. I booked a flight and flew to Moscow. And Gigi and the director of the Esalen Soviet American Exchange came with us. And we picked up my friend, my interpreter friend, that I'm going to be talking about in the community on Wednesday in the reading the chapter Lover to Lover. And this is what I wrote out there, because I'd been sent out there, what I forgot to tell you, when I was leading another group out in the middle of Australia, I forget, a couple of years before, I had written this in my journal, this story that implanted in the earth in this area of the outback of Australia, where the Aboriginals are, the Uluru, was from the Pleiadian time. And the information that was implanted on the earth 25,000 years ago was, should now be released. And the way to release it was to go. I was on a camel safari leading this group now, to go then to Lake Baikal and release it from the earth. So, you know, I trusted those things and we booked a flight and we flew out there. And that backstory of this is so interesting. My friend, Andre, Russian translator, could not be in a hotel with us. Americans were kept separate. So somehow he managed to hitch a ride and came to our hotel and talked the receptionist into saying that he was going to stay with in the room with Jim Hickman and that Gigi would share the room with me. And somehow that's going to be allowed, right? Well, they did allow it. And in the middle of the night, my friend climbed in my window. And I'm trying to write like this experience that I had just on code in case my journal is confiscated because I, you know, could have gone to jail. So I'm going to read you what I wrote. And Karen, in the end of it, I had no idea that I was writing the answer to what I came there to release, because we'd been going up the mountain in the middle of the night and all these times, you know, just with my concept of releasing information that is buried there on the planet 25,000 years ago. But how am I going to release this information? I don't know. I just trust that. So this is what I wrote in my journal. My body is vibrating with a dance of delight. My chakras awakened all through the night. My essence is a tingle. My being is bright. I had a dream, that's my code, right? That filled me full of soft-shaped crystals of shape-shifting might. They entered my body on the sword of a knight of lightness, a messenger of sorts. He's ridden all over the galaxy, visited many ports, on Arcturus, Pleiades, Sirius too. When I felt his vibrations, I suddenly knew that lightning would strike when the hearts of we two would touch and awaken what we already knew. That we both come from star seeds. We've traveled afar. Our journeys were destined on some distant star to bring us together here on this earth, to awaken the memory of our similar birth. Not just our birth, but others too. When our energies mingle, many others here now will suddenly awaken, rub their eyes, stretch and bow to the east, to the west, to the north, to the south. They'll realize their connections and look up to the sky and no longer wonder just why they cry with aloneness, frustration, always wondering why their instructions were lost, their mission unclear. Many will awaken with a voice in their ear that will guide them clearly so they'll know what to do. They'll feel their vibrations are stepped up too. Their cells start to spin just like mine and the Ritter's. Ritter is a German word for night. In the beginning, they might feel the jitters as their Earth star bodies step up the rhythm and prepare them for instructions their voices will give them. Awaken all beings who came here to Earth. Your mission has started. You've come here to birth an awakening, arising. As thousands look skyward, it will be so surprising how the sunrise and sunset will take on a new glow. How all over the planet, so many will know who they are, what they came for. The message will spread. Thank God we're awakening. We're not really dead. Let's get together. Let's work. There's work to be done. Let's start the bells ringing. Let's really have fun. We'll begin with celebration. We'll dance and we'll sing. We'll honor our birthing will form a large ring in Mother Earth, and the kingdoms will join us and saying, oh, hey, oh, oh, hey, hi. Look up all, look up to the sky. Hey, hey, yeah, hey, hey, hey. Look out there homeward. We've come from the sky. As the beings of light begin to assemble in small groups all over the planet, a shifting takes place, a shifting that soon affects the whole human race. The faces get brighter. They light up with joy. A knowingness glows in each girl and boy. Each man and each woman feel their steps lighten. Their hearts feel warmer, and each day will brighten, and happiness, forgiveness, thanksgiving too will fill all the beings who already knew this universal secret that I am you. And this I am you, that is the message of the Course in Miracles, that we are all one. And that is what we are now entering in, this remembering of this we are one in this age of Aquarius. And that each one of us, when we go through the dark times or the questioning or the challenges physically, mentally, emotionally, and we remember that we are one with all it is, and we work on it consciously on ourselves, on this amazing vessel that is the container for our soul, that when we reach out and we know that all those who aren't so blessed as we are, they will feel that in themselves. And as Steve Noble said in this beautiful meditation that I was sent, this idea that as we send the light over all, that we're into also the groups where we normally wouldn't reach into pharma, into all these boardrooms, because there may be those star seeds who are not yet awakened. Mm-hmm. They're just waiting for us as we get it. And we remember who we are as one with all it is. That's experiencing heaven on earth. And that's the message I've been getting from the wind, from the sea, from the stones, from the trees. That's it. That's it. And that's what this amazing convergence is this time. It's really beautiful. Recognizing that light within and spreading it out. And recognizing that fear around all these issues. That fear is there. It's part of who we are. To sit back and observe it from the point of view of knowing that we are at one with all it is. Without judgment, without fear. And just knowing that we can bring our consciousness to this. And we have this amazing group that has come together. So I wish you a really blessed time. I look forward to next week, the next Tuesday. I'm going to bring you something you haven't heard that I'm really excited about sharing with you. And have a wonderful time, a really blessed, peaceful, safe, cherished time.